Good morning. Trying a more of a lighthearted service and topic this morning, and now you get the real joke, me. But I want to start two quick things that I wanted to discuss before I launch into my message. My message theme this month is what's so funny is I want to look at the wisdom of a couple of humorists and what we can gather from them, and today we'll look at Will Rogers. But I planned for this series three messages in that regard. But I've now decided that in 2 weeks, instead of a third message on a humorist, we will hold another listening circle Sunday session that I will facilitate, that this will be a time to come together in love and understanding, not to discuss the Black Lives Matter banner issue, but to listen to one another about what is on our hearts about that particular issue that we will be deciding on October 6th. So again, another listening session that we held on July 29th, but to be held in 2 weeks on September 16th. And it truly is a listening session, and I will facilitate that. It's not something to discuss or even to share what I might call opinions of the mind, but to dig deep from within and pull out what are some of your feelings or emotions about this, and to share honestly. And we will all listen to each other with an open mind and a loving spirit. And in that light, I heard after last Sunday some background, I don't want to use the word gossip, but maybe that's what it was, and I have to wish that some people had spoken to me or to Sue Klein, who is the chair of the Sunday service planning team, but this is regarding the remarks that Howard Tolley made about a banner. Earlier this summer, I had met with two members from the church, and we were thinking about how to move forward with the congregation learning more about the particular issue before us. And I suggested that it would be helpful if we were able to find an individual from First Church or St. John's who had been opposed to a banner, that somebody who could come in and enlighten us on that, and then this person might have eventually come to either support it or at least to understand it, as those two churches have now displayed a banner. We weren't able to find such an individual, but we did hear about Howard Tolley, who was originally opposed to a banner, and he volunteered to come and speak to that. In speaking to him on several occasions and emailing with him, I encouraged him because of the where we are in our congregation with some differences of opinion, to encourage him to be very neutral in his remarks. And apparently there were some people that did not interpret his remarks last week as being particularly neutral, and that's certainly hopefully not his fault. Howard is a deeply good person who has been a mover and shaker for social justice in Ohio and founded the UUJO here in Ohio, Movement for Social Justice Actions in this state and certainly in this community. But they were apparently not as neutral as I would hope, but if there is a fault, that is with me and not with anyone else in this congregation. So I hope you will all take that appropriately. I do, again, beseech you, if you have questions about anything that happens in a service, I'm ultimately responsible for things in this service. So ask me, and that can clarify anything in that regard. So with the quote-unquote serious stuff out of the way, I move into my message, which hopefully will be slightly humorous. In the 2000 and 2004 election years, there was a loose assembly of folks who traveled around the country, and they called themselves the billionaires. And they began attending large public events, and they would dress themselves up in tuxedos and a top hat, and the women wore ball gowns with fake pearls and diamonds. And they held signs at these events with things on the sign stating things like, corporations are people too, or still loyal to big oil, or billionaires for wealth care, were also a sign saying, warning, universal health care may be harmful to profits. And they also appeared at post offices on April 15th, dressed in the same way, holding signs thanking everyday folks for paying their share of taxes, since they do not. And these mock billionaires adopted names like Phil T. Rich, Tex Shelter, and Meg A. Bucks. And the group used satire to make social statements about wealth in our country. And instead of shouting angry words of protest, they poked fun at elites while making their point very clear. They weren't ignored by our onlookers, but were instead widely applauded and even sought after for photographs. And for me, this was a highly effective and creative and even playful way to make an important point. And so, as I said, this month I plan to look at different humorists and how they used their wit to not only make people laugh, but also to slyly make political and social statements. As we all know, throughout history, clowns and court jesters and comedians have historically been taken for granted as simply funny people. But I think they're much more than that. Great political humorists, beginning back in ancient Greece, have used satire and irony and parody to cause both laughter and thought-provoking introspection. And indeed, in today's political and social comics, like Jon Stewart or Stephen Colbert or Michelle Wolf, my screen just went completely blank. That's one of the perils of technology. Bear with me 1 second. There we go. Okay. Okay. I don't like technology when it does things like that. Today's political and social comics like Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert and Michelle Wolf, they continue a tradition of speaking truth to power. As one commentator puts it, political and social humorists, they hold a mirror up to us and to society, but in funny and, I think, empathetic ways. And today, as the title of my message says, I'll look at the comedy of Will Rogers, who was considered one of the great and actually one of the most beloved political and social humorists of the 20th century. And at his premature death in an airplane crash in 1935, there was tremendous, nationwide, widespread national grief that many commentators said hadn't been seen since Abraham Lincoln's passing. Well, Rogers has been named in polls by many people as their best friend, even though they didn't know him personally. And for many of the presidential elections in the 1920s and 1930s, he received millions of write-in votes for president. Franklin Roosevelt even eulogized him by saying, "I doubt there is among us a more useful citizen than one who holds the secret of banishing gloom with hope and courage." Now, in my mind, Roosevelt gave him high praise, but he could have even given him even more praise. Rogers' homespun, common man, often ungrammatical humor frequently satirized politicians and wealthy elites. His popularity soared during the Great Depression as his wit and concern for the so-called little guy helped build popular support for many of Roosevelt's New Deal programs like Social Security or his National Relief Act. But Will Rogers was simply himself, as he always said. He was someone who was part Native American, he was born in Oklahoma, and he was entirely a self-made man. He spoke and wrote in common people's language, with often using made-up words or slang or multiple misspellings. He was once asked by a reporter why he ignored proper syntax. And Rogers' reply was, "What's syntax? Sounds like a bad disease to me." "You use bad grammar," replied the reporter. "Well, shucks," said Rogers. "I didn't know people was buying grammar. I'm just so dumb, I had a notion it was thoughts and ideas they was buying. I just write like I talk," end quote. But political humor was the hallmark of his comedy. "A fool and his money are soon elected," he once said. "Everything is changing now," he said in the 1930s. "People are taking their comedians seriously and their politicians as a joke," end quote. Then he opined in the middle of the Great Depression, "If stupidity got us into this mess, then why can't it get us out?" He also said, "The trouble with political jokes is they often get elected to office." Another one was, "Congress is deadlocked and can't act. I think that is the greatest blessing that could befall this country." And one of his best lines, I think, was, "I bet after seeing us today, George Washington would sue us for calling him father." The greatness of Rogers' political humor was that it spoke to the conditions of his time while also being timeless. His jokes resonate, I think, as much today as they did 90 years ago, something which makes him unique, even when compared to many of our contemporary humorists. And in that regard, his comedy also keenly made fun of general human nature. He said, "Everything is funny as long as it's happening to somebody else." And too many people, he said, spend money they haven't earned to buy things they don't want to impress people they don't like. And that, I think, is still very true. "Never miss a good chance to shut up," is one of his quips that I particularly appreciate. Another that we often still hear is, "When you find yourself in a hole, quit digging." And another is, "It's better for someone to think you're a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt." How many times have we heard that, or I've heard that at least, and I never knew that was from Neil Rogers. Another was, "When you're through learning, you're through." And a funny line that I empathize with was, "Long ago when people cursed and beat the ground with sticks, it was called witchcraft. Today it's called golf." And finally he observed, "The older we get, the fewer things seem worth waiting in line for." I know, I appreciate that. Now, many people have said Rogers' political and populist humor was in a uniquely American style, one that followed in the humorous footsteps of Washington Irving and Mark Twain. Will Rogers championed ethics of hard work and frugality and common sense. And in doing so, he also promoted with his comedy a strong American skepticism of elites and the super rich, and of course, all politicians. Like many Americans of the past, his attitudes towards them were not animated by any vitriol or hate, but rather with a bit of understanding and gentleness. He rarely made fun of a politician or an individual by name, but chose to joke about politicians or people in general. And his jokes and observations were thus a warning of sorts about the seductive ability of greed and power to diminish otherwise good people. Two observations he made about wealth and money made everyone a target. The income tax, he said, has made more liars out of Americans than golf. Seems like he liked to joke about golf. And he equally observed, quote, money won't make you happy, but everybody sure wants to find that out for themselves. And those jokes are funny, I think, because they're universally true. And they're true for me. I've experienced the pleasures that money can buy, and while I know they're false forms of happiness, I too can be seduced by the fake security of money or materialism. Indeed, Rogers noted that his humor was not the kind that would evoke deep belly laughs, but instead maybe a few chuckles followed by a nod of agreement. Somebody often has to stop and think just a bit about what he observed. One joke of his that makes me chuckle and think and then squirm a bit, it was, quote, good judgment comes from experience. And a lot of that comes from bad judgment. How many of us can relate to that observation? I know I can. And that gets what I think was so wise and particularly good about Will Rogers and something we can learn from him. When we have a point to make, or a particularly strong opinion, how we share that is crucial. Do we come across as an angry scold, as a self-righteous preacher, or even as a hypocrite? Or are we able somehow to remain true to the ideals of humility and kindness and empathy? In other words, can we inject a bit of self-deprecation in what we opine to others or about others? Something that Will Rogers regularly did. And he did so in proclaiming and using kind of an aw shucks way that he had no great intelligence, since a line he often used, that all he knew came from reading newspapers. And he also often said that he had no skill as a funny man by saying, quote, there's no trick to being a humorist when you have the whole government working for you. And those are funny truths, but they also, in a very slight way, make fun of him. Even though we all know that to find humor in many things takes a whole lot of skill. Rogers made insightful points about greed and sticking up for regular people with, I think, a lot of humility and a lot of gentleness. Virtues which I fear our current culture is rapidly losing. For me or for you, if we have a point to make or a criticism of what someone has done or said, might we try to gently laugh and find some ironic humor in the offense that concerns us, and then state our case in ways that does no harm? People who do that are often deeply loved and appreciated, as it's clear Will Rogers was. Making fun of oneself, I think, is an endearing quality that's true in particularly decent and humble people. Like Will Rogers, Abraham Lincoln did that with jokes about himself. Lincoln told a story about a man who once came up to him with a gun, carrying a gun. And the man said to Lincoln, I promised myself if I ever saw a man uglier than me, I'd shoot him. Well, said Lincoln very dryly, if I'm uglier than you, then shoot me now because I don't want to live any longer. This practice of funny self-deprecation is one that doesn't shy away from stating our opinions or our criticisms, but it implicitly says that when we do criticize others, we should do so with a healthy awareness that we too are imperfect. Jesus showed that with his humorous teaching that before we point out a small speck in someone's eye, we should first remove the log in our own. And if we think about that, and really think about it, I think that's a funny statement. Who can have a log in their eye? Of course, nobody. It's an exaggeration. But his point was that we can share gentle criticism, but we should be humble enough to know that we too have faults of our own. And if we're truly humble, we might, as lovable humorists do, make fun of and laugh at ourselves too. And that speaks to my advocacy for self-awareness, one that I think Will Rogers had in abundance, both about himself and about America in general. Self-awareness is one of the most important qualities I believe a person can have. Do we truly know and admit to both our strengths and our weaknesses? It's said that satire points out the imperfections of things as they are, with the contrasting desire for things as they should be. And this group of billionaires that I earlier mentioned, they gently satirized wealthy people by making fun of things they support, like the Supreme Court opinion that said corporations are people, or that rich people push for laws that enhance their considerable wealth. Instead of welfare for the poor, the billionaires held signs advocating wealth care, which we all know is what they actually do seek, but they won't admit. For me, that's funny satire. Will Rogers had this ability to be aware about himself and all America. He said once, advertising is the art of convincing people to spend money they don't have for something they don't need. And he thus joked about the mercenary tactics of advertising and about the materialistic tendencies we all have. That's being keenly and humorously aware. He also said, Congress is kids who never grew up, and that's all. Again, that's a gentle observation he made that's both critical and slightly funny. Adult men and women who are our leaders, who think they're big stuff, but they're actually, nevertheless, little boys and little girls. When he was asked if voters can be fooled, he replied, quote, "Darn tootin'. Of all of the bunk handed out during a campaign, the biggest one of all is to try and compliment the knowledge of the voter," end quote. Now that one has a bite to it, but many of us know it has basis in fact. At least for me, I often have no solid idea of who to vote for or what makes a good candidate for a judgeship, or the many intricacies of macroeconomics that Congress must implement. Well, Rogers also said, no man is great if he thinks he is. Now that's an especially humorous but also very true statement. It especially points out the humility that's admirable in great people, and it bursts the arrogance bubble of most politicians, and if we think about it, of ourselves too. If I sometimes get praise for a message, I of course appreciate it. But then I can also start to think, I'm really good. But then the next Sunday comes along and I deliver a stinker of a message and all of my delusions about being any good seem very ridiculous. And so I'll leave us with a final wise joke from Will Rogers. It speaks to his abilities as a humorist. Well, I think it also teaches a lesson as well. Common sense, he said, ain't common. And that to me is brilliant. Many of us think we have common sense, but to truly display it and practice it is often quite rare. We all know we should be more humble and less materialistic and kinder to friend and stranger. All of that's common sense. But to live those ideals out, to really be them, well, I'll just say that for me, I have a lot to learn. And so the humor and the wisdom of Will Rogers teaches me to laugh at all of the flaws in the world, and most especially to laugh at all of the flaws in me. And I wish you all much peace and joy.